myths about ADHD, how females can sometimes be underdiagnosed, and the fact that you can hyperfocus. You totally have ways to help yourself, and you just have to stay curious.
Hi, welcome to Beyond ADHD, a Physician's Perspective podcast. I am your host, Dr. Diana Mercado Marmarash. I'm a family medicine doc with ADHD, practicing in a rural setting in Texas. I am a mother to two very energetic toddlers who are 3 and 4 years of age. And in the past year, I have undergone radical transformation after discovering ADHD coaching and life coaching. For the past decade, my typical day consisted of having 300 charts backlogged, a graveyard of unfinished projects, and a lack of time awareness. I didn't realize that I was not filling my own cup. I was running on fumes. The last year, I figured out the secret. Learn to stay in your lane. So now my mission is to help others develop systems that tap into their zone of genius so they too can reclaim their personal lives back like I have.
Okay, so today I want to talk about some myths with ADHD. And some of them are the fact that only little kids who are super hyperactive have ADHD. The thing is that females tend to be a little bit more calm. We tend to be the daydreamers. And sometimes you could be sitting there and your brain can be in 10,000 other places and not necessarily focusing on whatever the teacher is saying. And what happens is that if you were one to be hyperactive as you go through menopause, if you are a kid who was hyperactive at some point, and then you go through your period stage, then you all of a sudden can become more calm. And so there was some misconceptions that people outgrew their ADHD as they got older, especially females, because all of a sudden they don't see this hyperactive activity happening. The thing is that now we have come to understand that you don't have to necessarily be hyperactive in order to be diagnosed with ADHD. There was a lot of talk. There's a myth that says that, you know, if you're smart, you cannot have ADHD, which of course, now we have come to understand that that's not necessarily the thing. The thing with ADHD is that tasks that sometimes seem boring or unimportant to us can be the reason we don't find the keys. It can be the reason why out of sight, out of mind, if it wasn't in our schedule, we tend to forget that. And sometimes that can get us in trouble, like when we forgot to pay our taxes or we forgot to pay a tuition or we forgot to turn in an important paper, right? And the thing is that a lot of people think that if you got through college or you got through medical school or law school, or if you even got into that, that there's no way you can have ADHD. And that's not the case, because whatever you have that interests you, we tend to hyper-focus on that. And sometimes we spend so many hours doing that, and we don't realize that it's like 2 or 3 times the amount of hours that other people invest in doing something. We don't make it mean anything, because to us, that's what is driving us, or that's what feels right, what's aligned with us. What happens is that you end up having both male and females who have ADHD, but they're just working a lot harder than they need to be. And they don't realize that they're doing that because they have found, their body finds ways to overcompensate for that dopamine that is low in their system. How do they do that? Well, sometimes that looks like using too much coffee, or using sodas, or using, unfortunately, some people end up using like cocaine or different things like that, alcohol, smoking, anything that gives them dopamine, food, right? Very sugary food as a way to try to find the dopamine. feeling like if you're smart, you know, there's no way you can have ADHD. That's a myth, because as a physician right now with somebody that I have ADHD and as somebody who's currently has seen my patients in practice, plus I now have a group coaching that I have physicians and medical students in. I see it every day that all ethnicities, regardless of their socioeconomic and regardless of what specialty that they're in, can have some problems, right? And again, this is ADHD. It's a genetic condition that is about how we process information. It's an executive dysfunction that is also tied down to emotional dysregulation. And even though in the US, it's not used as a way to say that you have ADHD, emotional dysregulation is not something that is used to diagnose that. In Europe, it is. It's one of the 6 characteristics to diagnose ADHD. The point that I'm trying to get at is that you can totally be somebody who's smart. You can be an engineer. You can be an accountant. You can be an ER doc. You can be ICU nurse. You can be anything that you want to be when you have ADHD. And being smart does not mean that that's automatically going to rule out ADHD. So instead, what you need to look at is, are you somebody who forgets the keys, somebody who has no time awareness, somebody who has the best intentions, and sometimes, regardless of what you think, you are not able to accomplish a deadline, right? And so you have to just see the whole picture. Are you somebody who talks out of turn because you're afraid that you're going to forget what the other person was talking to you about, and you're going to look like a dummy because you didn't get in to say what you wanted to say, right? There's so many things that you have to look at. It's not just whether you can focus or not, but look at the whole strategy with it. And that's the other myth. People think when they hear the word ADHD that you just have problem focusing. And the thing is that not so much. Like sometimes you have problem focusing on the things that to you are boring or too big of a task, or you haven't defined the task. But sometimes when you do get into whatever you're doing, you way over hyper-focus and you have a problem getting out of that zone to be able to come back and live with the rest of the humans in the world. I will explain what I mean. So I have to use timers in the last year when I started understanding myself and I started to realize that I had no time awareness. And that's why if I tell you that something's going to take a certain amount of time, it might take a lot more than that. I didn't realize until it was pointed out to me that the way our brains work is that we have places, we have to think of a recipe. When you ask us like, hey, how long is this is going to take you? I'm going to tell you the time that it's going to take me to do something, but I don't tell you the time beforehand. Like I don't tell you I have to gather all these materials or make sure I'm at the right place at the right time with whatever I'm going. And then the cleanup part of it. So for example, I always use this example because it's real. If I have to cook a pasta, you're going to ask me how long does it take? And I'm going to tell you 6 minutes, but I'm not going to tell you that I don't even have the pasta in my house. So I have to get in the car, drive to Walmart, go get the pasta. Then I get the sauce. Then I get the bread. And then I look at flowers. And next thing you know, 2 hours has gone by by the time I started cooking the pasta. And then I realized that I don't even have the pot that I needed, because last time that I cooked pasta, I took some to my neighbor and then I forgot to get it. All these steps that I hadn't accounted for when you asked me how long it was going to take me to do something, right? And so the time awareness factor, because you didn't plan out what you wanted to do, because we tend to live in the moment sometimes, can get us into trouble. And so for me, understanding that 5 minutes or an hour can feel the same sometimes when I'm enjoying something that I'm doing was a big revelation, because that gave me the opportunity to start to use timers so that before I walked into a patient's room, my nurse can come and knock and give me a heads up that certain amount of time had passed by so that I can start to wrap up the appointment. It's amazing when you're the one who's having the appointment with me, because you're the only thing that is in right in front of me. And I'm so excited to be talking to you. But if I'm not aware of the time, if you're the person waiting to be in the other room, you're gonna want me to hurry up, right? That's the thing, like having that awareness that sometimes it's not that we have a community or a personal flaw, that we're lying to people or that we don't care about people. It's just the awareness that there is some other parts of us that we need some extra little help on so that we can create systems to support us and be more mindful of what we're doing. Understanding as well that ADHD is not something that you caught. You know, there is some data out there that shows that it's obviously genetic, but it also shows that the environment that we grow up in makes a big difference, because it can be in our genes and it can be asleep or dormant. And if the environment is such where your parents help you create good systems so that you can support yourself, then that works out great. And it might be that your ADHD does not get manifested until way later in life. But if you're in an environment where maybe there's some abuse, or maybe there is some financial hardship, or you don't have the best schools or different things like that, it could be that your ADHD gets manifested a lot sooner rather than later. Like for me, I didn't get diagnosed until I was in medical school. And I knew I was working a little bit harder, but I didn't realize that in high school, you know, I was running 10 miles. And so in the cross country team, that was probably giving me the dopamine that my brain needed. And I struggled a little bit when I got to college. And it was because I wasn't running, I didn't put the two and two together today, which are myths about ADHD, how females can sometimes be underdiagnosed, and the fact that you can hyperfocus. And sometimes the things that are boring can make us seem like we are underfocusing. And the fact that, you know, you totally have ways to help yourself and you just have to stay curious. I did end up having some tutors and different things like that, because I knew that I worked best by talking it out with somebody else. You have to understand that it's not just that you can't focus on something, but it's that sometimes you way over focus on something and you stay for too long of a period. So you have to have some tools to bring you back into like present moment so that we don't become like over perfectionist on certain things and dwell on little details that can get us into trouble. It is obviously a real condition. You know, a lot of people always say, oh my God, people are always overestimating it. Actually, the fact shows that it's way underdiagnosed, especially for females. Sometimes they don't get diagnosed until the birth of a child or after they get to college or even like get a job promotion and stuff like that. It's because of all the changes that happen with executive and organization and emotional and all that stuff that can really bring it out. And sometimes they don't even get diagnosed until they get into the menopause years because of the change in estrogen. So it's so important for you to just have an open mind if you have ADHD or if you know somebody with ADHD so that you can come curious and get to learn more about yourself. I hope you enjoyed the tips that we shared today, which are myths about ADHD, how females can sometimes be underdiagnosed, and the fact that you can hyperfocus, and sometimes the things that are boring can make us seem like we are underfocusing, and the fact that you totally have ways to help yourself and you just have to stay curious.
As someone who understands that time is our most valuable asset, I am so honored that you have shared your time with me. Please click the subscribe button and join my Facebook group. Beyond ADHD, a Physician's Perspective, so that you never miss an opportunity to create time at will. Do share this podcast with your friends so they too can learn to live life and stay in their